Good morning, everyone, in the name of Jesus. Let's pray. I feel the need. Heavenly Father, we come to you, thanking you for this opportunity, thanking you for the blessed singing, the blessed exhortations we've already heard. Now, Father, I don't know anything. Yet, in the name of your Son, Jesus, graciously honor that we get into your Word. Quicken your Word. Quicken us in your Word. Grant that my pitiful meditation would be a help, be a blessing this morning. Amen. My thought this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And starting in verse 9, just a place to start to get the thought. And thank you for the singing. It was beautiful. And thank you, Brother Mose, for overcoming the world. 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass, darkly. But then face to face. Now I know in part. But then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Amen. I have an incomplete thought this morning, and I'm going to put this up here, not as perfection or not as a formula, but just as a picture. And my thought comes from a recent conversation or a conversation I had with an older man fairly recently. And he strikes me as fairly established in his congregation and his ideas. And he was expressing to me that we have to love people. And I didn't disagree with him. But I pondered just where he was coming from with his statement. He mentioned you can't tell people they're wrong. You can't talk to people about sin. You just have to love people. The experience or the conversation that I had with this gentleman, of course, it's not the first time I've ever experienced or encountered something like that. And so that's sort of where this meditation or this thought or this opening comes from. So I want to look at an aspect of this passage. I'm not going to try to present the entirety of this passage. I may miss the heart of this passage somewhat. just in way of explanation, I want to look at faith and hope in this passage, in chapter 13. I want to take a look at those aspects of this passage. And in doing so, I in no way, shape, or form mean to belittle or diminish the importance of charity or the importance of love. I just want to bring out that faith and hope are purposefully present in this passage. And so I guess I would say this morning, in just like a little title for the opening, charity is not the only ingredient. And that was just the impression I was getting from this man. And sometimes that's the impression I get from maybe the Christian world or the church world, however you would say it, is that charity is everything. And so that's where this thought comes from. Just I'm not presenting it as a perfect thought or anything like that. And I'm certainly not looking at this in its entirety. I confess that. But that's the background of this thought. So my thought process is kind of akin to reconciling faith and works. You know, faith without works is dead. And you've got the book of Romans and you've got the book of James. Well, here in this passage, you have charity. But it's not the only thing that's in this passage. You also have faith and hope. So that's sort of the thought process this morning. So the picture, and it's just a picture. I'm not offering a formula or offering that I've got the right ingredients or the right doses or whatever. So I was not a good English student. But if I remember from English, if you have two things and you compare them, you've got good and better. If you have more than two things, you can have best and better and good. So we've got greatest. Charity is the greatest. So in my mind, and this is not perfect, mind you, I'm confessing that, just presenting a picture. So if you have three ingredients, you've got greatest, and obviously these aren't as great as this. But in my mind, you would have the same situation here, that this is the greatest of these three. And I just present that as a picture. That's all. I'm just presenting that as a picture. I don't have the formula. But with that in mind, usually if we have pancakes at home, I'm the one that makes them. You know, pancakes is something that I can do. It's important to have the right ingredients. If you've never substituted baking soda for baking powder in your pancakes, don't. It's important to have the right ingredients. I can tell you from experience, just don't do it. So if love or charity is some sort of concept of permissiveness or some sort of concept of tolerance, that's not the right ingredient. That's a substitution for the Bible presentation of love or of charity. So it's important to have the right ingredients. It's important to have the right amount of the right ingredients. For whatever reason, we keep salt and we keep sugar in the cabinet in clear containers. They are different containers, different style. One's plastic, one's glass. But they're right next to each other in the same containers. And you know, if it's not labeled, salt and sugar look an awful lot alike. If you put 2 tablespoons of salt in your pancakes and 1/4 teaspoon of sugar, as opposed to 2 tablespoons of sugar and 1/4 teaspoon of salt in your pancakes, it changes the taste of the finished product. Don't do it. And then if you make another batch and try to mix them and try to spread it out because you don't want to make the original batter, you don't want to waste the original batter, don't. You just end up with, start all over. My point is that, like, it's important to have the right amount of the right ingredients. And again, I'm not presenting that I know a percentage or that I can give you a percentage or anything like that. I just have this thought that charity, that love, especially the way that easy believing Christianity has it defined now, it's not the only ingredient. And I guess another thing is, you know, I said to this man, you know, well, there's more to it than that. You know, I tried to respond tactfully and yet throw something in there. And I guess, you know, I wish I would have had a better answer also. This is where this is coming from. Faith. And I put this together looking up in Strong's. Persuaded that the Bible is truth, that God created all things and man is separated from God by sin. God the Son, Jesus Christ, is the only way to be reconciled to God, and through Christ, man can live out the gospel here on earth. Faith, not a perfect definition, but I'm just putting that together in these thoughts. Hope. Confident expectation. Assuredly looking forward to. Anticipating good. So hope has this thought about it that if I do what's right, I can look for a reward. And you know, it counteracts doubt. It counteracts, it's just a possibility. Now that's hope. So, again, those are the two things I want to look at this morning, even though this is the charity chapter. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. And of course, this is the armor of God. But in Ephesians 6 and chapter 16, it speaks of faith. And it's interesting. You know, Paul writes, above all. So, and again, this is just a picture. You know, so where is faith in the batter? Where is faith in the mixture? You know, sure, charity is the greatest. But Paul says, above all, taking the shield of faith. And with the shield of faith, we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So if we have that shield of faith, and you know, there's charity too. Is that like throwing copious amounts of water on permissiveness and toleration and coming out above and with a life that shows the world you can't live above sin, you can't live above the world? So faith is pretty important.
And then there's Hebrews chapter 11.
I mean, yes, absolutely, positively. There is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, but there is also Hebrews chapter 11. Well, there's Romans. Well, there's James. Faith, substance, evidence. It is the way to obtain a good report. So this lifestyle of obedience to God, believe God has done what He has done in His Son Jesus Christ, and it produces a lifestyle. It's impossible to please God without it. Okay. Therefore, I think it's safe to say we want faith in that batter. We want faith in that mix. Hope. First Thessalonians 5 and 8. And here's sort of another list of armor, or you can call it the ingredients of being fully outfitted for the Christian life, for the battle. And so hope in this list is the helmet of salvation. And so, in my mind, hope, you can say a positive attitude, you can say optimism, that would give understanding to it for people that don't know the Bible or try to be optimistic about life. But there's more to it than that, right? That's just trying to put a picture with it. It's assuredly confident that there's an expectation to diligently seek God procures results. It's not a possibility. It is an absolute. That God is that way. And so hope is the helmet of salvation. The helmet protects the mind, protects the thoughts. That gives me a beautiful picture of hope. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. And you know, with faith, we've got that above all in Ephesians. And with faith, we've got the whole chapter 11 of Hebrews. But hope is still the helmet of salvation. And Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19 presents hope as the anchor of the soul. So, I don't know that hope is here. But I don't know that hope is here. But hope in my mind is definitely a very important ingredient in the batter. So our hope in the return of Jesus Christ and His rewarding all men according to their works. So we have a hope. Settles us. Settles our minds, our hearts, our lifestyles in righteousness. Amen? And then just trying to bring the ingredients together. I'm just looking at faith and hope because they're in here. Not trying to take away from the chapter. Romans chapter 4. And then looking at verses 16 through 21. And I'm looking at this as you know, stirring up faith and hope. Of course, charity is in there too. Just stirring them up, mixing them up, so that they blend together into a finished product. Romans chapter 4. And verse 16. It starts out, therefore it is of faith. And then verse 18, speaking of Abraham, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. So here's a picture that I have. You know, against hope, that would be hopeless. So Sarah having a child at her age, and even beyond their physical ability to have a child at that time in their lives, well, what about in 10 years when the boy is 10 years old and Sarah's 10 years older and Abraham's 10 years older? Or 20 years when Abraham's 20 years older and Sarah's 20 years older. I'm kind of challenged in keeping up with just three sons at my age. So, like, here's a hopeless situation. Against hope. Believed in hope. So the other aspect of hope, with God, all things are possible. So an absolutely impossible, hopeless situation. But Abraham says, wait a minute. I'm not going to look at the situation. I'm going to look at God, who against hope believed in hope. And then verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So just faith and hope being mixed together and a product coming out of that is a powerful thing. And then throw charity in there in its right measure. Just absolutely beautiful. God bless you this morning. Not a complete thought. I apologize for that. But again, you know, explaining where it came from, I hope that you find a blessing and an encouragement. Amen. God bless you all.